Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay. Let's see. Sunday and then Monday, but I haven't heard anything about Thomas today or yesterday.
He's doing good. He's
doing
kind of tired
lately. Okay. Ah, that'll make you tired. Yeah. Good. And how's your mother? Good. Now, did they take an MRI or X-ray or something, and they liked it? And wow, very good. That's good news. Wow. Okay. Anything? And Cindy, Edwards, our faithful friend in Wichita Falls, Texas, just needs our prayers. There's so many areas of her family and life that she just needs our prayers now. So please be in prayer for Cindy Edwards and the entire family. And, yes?
Yeah, a friend of my family,
Lois.
Yeah, she's suffering with cancer.
Ooh. Not looking good. Let's be in prayer for Lois. Absolutely. Do we know if she's a believer, Jerry? Don't know. Okay. But we'll pray that God uses this to bring her to a realization of Christ. And we need to be in prayer for Pam Rittenberry. A lot of issues going on with her. Her brother died unexpectedly Monday. And so we need to be in prayer for Pam and this time. So anything else? We don't know. Okay. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer and orient ourselves to our study. Father, how grateful we are for this word. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit enlightens us, illuminates us, lets us understand and know the truth that is here. Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes tonight to things you would have us to see and to understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Now, last week, we took up the handout on the order of the crucifixion. From Pilate turning Christ over to the Romans, to the journey to Golgotha, and then crucifixion up until at 9 a.m., and then at 12 noon, the darkness, and at 3 o'clock, it is finished, paid in full. So we have studied the birth, incarnation of Jesus Christ. We've studied the life of Christ. We've now studied in pretty good detail the six trials of Christ. We now come to the crucifixion of Christ. And the first thing to happen is that Pilate turns Christ over to the Roman guards to crucify him. And before they crucify him, certain people, Jim, they torture and to help them to, so death will come a little quicker when they're on the cross. Now, so they do that to sport with him, whoever they're crucifying, make fun of him, inflict some pain. That's the characteristic of man. And you'll remember in our study of Daniel, in the time of the Gentiles, God pictures the nations as animals because that's how man treats man. And as ferocious animals and do ferocious things against other members of the human race in a big corporate manner, Spanish Inquisition, the Crusades, Nazi Germany, and countries like Sudan, Nigeria today. The Muslims throughout a lot of the world today do horrible things, hacking other people up. And so man instinctively loves to be cruel to others. Now let's turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John 19, and let's look at verse 16. John 19, 16. So he handed him, he, Pilate, handed him, Jesus Christ, over to them, and them refers to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Now let's go back and read from verse 14. And verse 14, now it was, and this is what's important for tonight's study. John, more than the other writers of Scripture, pinpoints time, event, and days. Time, day, place. More than Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And not really sure why he does that, but he is the most adamant about doing it. So you have in verse 14, now it was a day of preparation for the Passover. And so, day of preparation for the Passover. Now people, that one phrase has caused a great deal of confusion and controversy. To start with, what just happened the night before? Jesus has already enjoyed and eaten the Passover with his disciples. And here John says it was the day of preparation. So we have that problem. And Luke 22:15, I have earnestly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So Christ partaken of the Passover with the disciples last night. John now writes this was the day of preparation. Now, added to this, we have seen many times there are several days, different days claimed to be the day of the crucifixion. Some say Wednesday, some say Thursday, some say Friday from the Roman Catholic Church tradition. I chose Wednesday, but don't want to break fellowship if somebody says a Thursday or Friday, as long as we agree he died on the cross to pay the judgment of the sins of the world and rose again from the grave. And that'd be the main thing. Okay, why this confusion on the day of preparation, the day of the Passover? This confusion as to the preparation of the Passover and the day of the Passover and the day of the crucifixion and resurrection is involved in understanding or resolved in understanding is that there are two Sabbaths this particular week of the year. And we're going to go through some of that. Now, another point I want to make is a great issue in regard to time. And time differs with Roman time by 6 hours. They say 6 p.m. We say midnight. Begins the new day. So you have to bear that in mind in dealing with the time frame of the Jews. Now, what is this sheet I've handed out to you? Well, first of all, y'all were so used to James's work that I had to find somebody that had this already done for us. And James saw it and he says, all right, I quit. You don't need me anymore? I'm quit. I won't be here. So I didn't mean to do that, James. But I've got this for you for several reasons. The first reason is that I want you to see that I'm not the only person that thinks it was Wednesday. Many people claim it was Wednesday. And this helps that. Secondly, so far as I can tell, everything is in order. Now, that doesn't mean I guarantee everything's in order. If you see something that raises a question, please let me know. But a couple of things I want to point out to you. First of all, where is this from and who did it? I don't know who did it, but if you look on page 10, page 10, next to the last page, you look down at the very bottom, and it says www.century1.com, the crucifixion hotmail. So if you want to look this up and other things, that's a good source. Now, the next thing I want to do with you before we get involved in it is I want to point out some things. Go back to page 1 now, the first page. And the problem with just copying this off of the internet and passing out is that they use a very light color on where if you can read it. It says the events and how we know. You might not see that. And then down the center, you have night one. Y'all have that? Night one. Tuesday, night one. You've got to turn the page. And the reason that yours has it the way that it is that, and by the way, to another thing, there are one of 11 pages. You'll know that there is no page four. And the reason there is no page four is that I did some clipping and cutting and putting it together so that on one page we have Tuesday, one page Wednesday and Thursday without it going to another page, and then Friday and Saturday. So there's the three pages that they took four to do. So that's why you have 11 pages, but you only have, you have page four not there. So if you can read the events and how we know, and then night one, day one, night two, night three, day three. And then we'll come to the... but let's go through this. So last week, we studied the chronology of the crucifixion of Christ. This time, I want to go through kind of this week. Now, we've done this in different ways, but this one was the best way that I saw that just put everything together really smoothly and so correctly. So the key to understanding the chronology of the events leading up to and including Jesus' crucifixion. And, excuse me one moment. If you're on the internet, I want to repeat again, you can get a copy of this by getting on the internet to http://www.century1.com/crucifixion.html. So those of you on the internet can find this same information. Okay, let's go back now to page one. The key to understanding the chronology of the events leading up to and including Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection is that there were two Sabbaths this week, and with a day of preparation between them. This makes all the gospel accounts fall into place. The fulfillment of Christ's words become clear. A correct harmonization of all the facts will bear this out. Now, the events. So they start with Tuesday. Tuesday, Nisan the 13th. How do we know that? John and Peter were sent ahead of time to locate the place of the meal and to make preparations for it. Mark 14:12-16. All right. Jesus, going back to the event, Jesus and the 12 disciples come into Jerusalem from Bethany to partake of the Passover meal. This happens Tuesday. Mark 14:17. Jesus ate an early evening Passover meal with his disciples. After the meal, he walks with his disciples toward the Mount of Olives. How do we know this? Passover is observed on the 14th of Nisan every year, Leviticus 23:5. Jesus and his disciples partook of the Passover in early evening of the previous day, days calculated from sunset to sunset, not midnight to midnight. Now, Jesus was betrayed by Judas at the olive grove in Gethsemane, arrested, and brought before the high priest Caiaphas. Gethsemane is at the foot of Mount of Olives, not far from the Brook of Kindred, and takes its name from a cave there that contained an olive press, thus Gethsemane. All right, the trial ends at daybreak. Okay. Wednesday, the 14th, preparation day for the annual, not weekly, Sabbath. In the morning, Jesus was brought before Pilate, the governor. Jesus was crucified and dies around 3 p.m. Wednesday. Jesus' body was placed in the tomb at twilight. annual Sabbath begins at sunset. Sunset at this time of the year in Jerusalem is about 6:30 to 7 p.m. Now we'll go over how do we know. Luke 23:44 shows that Jesus died around the ninth hour, or approximately 3 p.m. He would have been buried before sunset because of the appointed Sabbath for that Sabbath day. It was a high day. Now that's going to be very important in understanding this. High day is very important in understanding the two Sabbaths this week and what's going on, and that's in John 19:31. So in fact, just look 19:31, and so that you can see it. The Jews therefore, because it was the day of preparation, so that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. And this is contrast to the regular Sabbaths. Okay? Annual Sabbath begins at sunset. Well, we've read that. Now, John 19:31 mentions that the day following Jesus' crucifixion was a high day as opposed to the weekly Sabbath, seventh day Sabbath, two Sabbaths. First, an annual holy day, and then the regular weekly Sabbath, are mentioned in the gospel accounts. Compare Mark 6:16:1 with Luke 23:56. And if you take time, if you're interested, and you go through and compare all these, you'll see how this does just make everything smooth and in harmony, whereas a lot of people will have a lot of trouble working with Mark 16 and Luke 23, John 19. They just cannot see how it's all going to work. So therefore, they make Friday the day of the crucifixion. Okay, that's night one. Night one. That's Wednesday. Our Wednesday night, starting at 6, would be the Jewish time starting the new day. So that would be from 6 p.m. Wednesday night to 6 a.m. Thursday morning. That would be night one. He's in the grave 3 days, 3 nights. Now, just for your knowledge, some people argue three parts of a day. Well, that idea does work in some passages, but where Scripture specifically says 3 days, 3 nights, that doesn't work. Nowhere in Scripture. These are 3 literal days, 3 literal nights. Okay, let's go to Thursday. Nisan the 15th. The 15th of Nisan is the first holy day, high day, or annual Sabbath of the 7-day festival of unleavened bread. It begins at sunset on the 14th. So now we've come into Thursday, Nisan the 15th. This was the first annual Sabbath, or high day, the first day of unleavened bread. The tomb is guarded and secured by sealing it with a stone. The annual Sabbath ends at sunset. Okay? That brings us to day one, and night two. Night two starts Thursday night. That brings us to Friday morning. Friday morning, 6 a.m., day two. With the annual Sabbath now over, the women brought and prepared spices for anointing Jesus' body. The weekly Sabbath begins at sunset Friday night. No work is to be done as commanded in the fourth commandment. Now, go to how do we know these things? Mark 16:1 tells us, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus and Salome brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." Luke's account also describes how the women prepared the spices and ointments. And then they rested on the Sabbath, Saturday, day according to the commandment, Luke 23:56. Thursday, according to these two accounts, they brought the spices and prepared them after the Sabbath and yet before the Sabbath, after the high day special Sabbath, and then the regular weekly Sabbath. There had to be two Sabbaths involved here with a day of preparation between them. Now, is that kind of clear to everyone what's happening in this day? All right. Okay. So that brings us to night three. Night three. Day two, Friday. Night three, Friday night going into Saturday. All right. That brings us to Saturday. Nice and 17. The weekly Sabbath, the women rested on the weekly Sabbath. Jesus rose around sunset, exactly 3 days, 3 nights, 72 hours after burial, to fulfill the sign of Jonah and authenticate Jesus' Messiahship. The weekly Sabbath ends at sunset Saturday night. So sometime after 6 o'clock Saturday night, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. How do we know that? Under day three. Jesus' promise was fulfilled exactly as he said it would. He said, like the prophet Jonah, he would be entombed 3 days and 3 nights, very special, very clear, and that then he would be raised up from the dead the third day after his crucifixion and death. And he gives you the scripture references to this. So we've gone now from Tuesday and then the crucifixion Wednesday, Wednesday night, first night, Thursday night, second night, Friday night, third night, all day Thursday, first day, all day Friday, second day, all day Saturday, third day. So we had the 3 days and 3 nights. And I've always believed it was on Wednesday. However, I didn't know about the high day, the yearly Sabbath, and I've now authenticated it through other sources, but they put it together so well here, and that's why I want to pass this out to you. Okay, that brings us to Sunday, nice and the 18th. The women brought the prepared spices early in the morning while it was still dark. When they arrived, they found that Jesus had already risen. So he rose somewhere from Saturday night, 6 p.m. to Sunday morning, probably early around early Saturday evening. Jesus' resurrection had already taken place by the time Mary Magdalene arrived at dawn Sunday morning. In Matthew's account, he states that in the end of or after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, that would be Sunday morning, dawn the first day of the week, they came to see the sepulchre. The original Greek word used here for Sabbath is actually plural and should be translated Sabbaths. Those little things are important, people, in regard to understanding the timing and the frame. All right? Now, let's go to page 5. Life on Earth. Well, wait a minute. Let's see it. The Lord's life on earth. 2, to fix the day of crucifixion. And 3, to ascertain the duration of the time he remained in the tomb. The difficulties connected with these I'm on page 5. Page 5 of 11. From the Companion Bible, published by Craigle Publications, 6 days before the Passover, John 12:1. And people, other people that want to argue the Friday, you ought to see the work they have to do to twist, bend, manipulate, to make all these things fit. But if you understand two Sabbaths this week, and the high, and it's the plural Sabbaths, all of these things make sense, and you can calculate 12:1, 6 days before the Passover. So these things work out really nicely. We are furnished by Scripture with certain facts and fixed points which taken together enable us to determine the offense which filled up the days of the last week of our Lord's life on earth. 2, to fix the day of his crucifixion, and three, to ascertain the duration of time remained in the tomb. Now, let me just give you a parenthesis here again. People, I'm not giving you this information so you can argue, debate, and not fellowship with someone. This is for our own edification. Well, if it's Wednesday, how does all of this work out? And also, well, wait a minute, this passage says 6 days before, and you start looking it all up. So what I wanted to do was for our benefit here to be able to answer all these questions. You'll be able to answer them. Now, I said answer them, not debate, not convince. You're not going to convince a Catholic that it was not on Friday. And so you just have to, I'm just giving you this for our edification, so that all these things fit together. Now, the difficulties connected with these three have arisen. One, from not having noted these fixed points. From the fact of Gentiles not having been conversant with the law concerning the three great feasts of the Lord. And three, from not knowing and not having reckoned the days as commencing some 6 hours before our own, and running from sunset to sunset, instead of from midnight to midnight. To remove these difficulties, we must note. And the reason I'm reading this, you can take it home and read it. I just want us to go over it. And if you have questions, let's ask them. Let's see if this is flowing for everyone. All right, one, that the first day of each of the three feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, was a holy convocation, a Sabbath, on which no servile work was to be done, Leviticus 23:7 and Exodus 12. That Sabbath and the high day of John 19:31 was the holy convocation, the first day of the feast, which quite overshadowed the ordinary weekly Sabbath. It was called by the Jews Yom Tov, good day. And this is the greeting on that day throughout Jews down to the present time. This great Sabbath, having been mistaken from the earliest times for the weekly Sabbath, has led to all this confusion. Roman numeral 2. This has normally caused the further difficulty as to the Lord's statement, even as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, Matthew 12:40. Now, while it is quite correct to speak according to Hebrew idiom 3 days or three nights, 3 years, while they are only parts of 3 days or 3 years. Yet, that idiom does not apply, and this is true of this proper study of the Bible, does not apply in a case like this, where three nights are mentioned in addition to 3 days. It will be noted that the Lord not only definitely states this, but repeats the full phraseology so that we may not miss it. See the subject fully discussed, and you can look that up on the internet. Roman numeral 3. We have therefore the following facts furnished for our guidance. 1. The high day of John 19:31 was the first day of the feast. 2. The first day of the feast was on the 15th day of Nisan. 3. The 15th day of Nisan commenced at sunset on what we shall call the 14th, 6 days before the Passover, John 12:1, takes us back to the 9th day of Nisan. After 2 days is Passover, Matthew 26:2, Mark 14:1, takes us to the 13th day of Nisan. And like I said, people, you ought to see how people try to just work all around all of these points that we're looking at right here and making it fit. And they will have to deny. They'll have to just do a lot of different stuff. But we don't have to do anything. It's just so smooth. The first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, Matthew 28:1, was from our Saturday sunset to our Sunday sunset. This fixes the day of the week, just as the above fixed the days of the month. 7. Reckoning back from this, 3 days and three nights, Matthew 12:40, we arrive at the day of the burial, which must have been before sunset on the 14th of Nisan, before our Wednesday sunset. 8. This makes the 6th day before the Passover, the 9th day of Nisan, to be our Thursday sunset to Friday sunset. Therefore, Wednesday, Nisan the 14th, commencing on the Tuesday at sunset, was the preparation day on which the crucifixion took place. For all four Gospels definitely say that this was the day on which the Lord was buried before our Wednesday sunset, because it was a preparation day. The bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath day was a high day, and therefore not the ordinary seventh day or weekly Sabbath, John 19:31. And then Roman 4, it follows, therefore, that the Lord, being crucified on the preparation day, could not have eaten the Passover lamb, which was not slain until evening of the 14th of Nisan. On that day, the daily sacrifice was killed at the 6th hour, noon, and offered about the 7th hour, 1 p.m. The killing of the Passover lamb begins directly afterward. Thus it is clear that if the killing of the Passover lambs did not commence until about 4 hours after the Lord had been hanging upon the cross, and would not have been concluded at the 9th hour, 3 p.m., when he gave up the Spirit, no Passover lamb could have been eaten at the Last Supper on the previous evening. 5. With these facts before us, we are now in a position to fill the several days of the Lord's last week with the events recorded in the Gospel by noting that the Lord returned to Bethany or the Mount of Olives each night of the week. We are able to determine how both the several days and events took place in them in that one week. The 6th day before the Passover, the 9th day of Nisan, our Thursday sunset to Friday sunset. The Lord approaches Jerusalem from Jericho, given to us only by Luke. I like the way he's given us the scripture references where they occur, and like in these, they only occur in one place. So you have to be very careful putting all this together. He passes our Thursday night at the house of Zacharias, Luke 19:5, and delivers the parable of the pounds, 19:11-27. He proceeds on toward Jerusalem, 19:28. He sends two disciples for an ass and a colt, two animals. Matthew records it. Okay? And makes his first entry from Bethage, not Bethany, and that would be given in the previous thing at the Matthew 21:8-9. Okay? I almost started to go through and try to get every page like I did those first three, and it just got too complicated. I forgot how to do that stuff that you learn in elementary school, how to cut and tape and paste and everything. All right, it makes his first entry from Bethage, not Bethany. He is unexpected, and they ask, "Who is this?" Matthew 21:10-11. He cleanses the temple, 21:12-16. He returns to Bethany, 21:17. fifth day before the Passover, the 10th day of Nisan, our Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. The Lord passes the Sabbath on Bethany, and after sunset on our Saturday, the first of three suppers was made, probably at the house of Lazarus in Bethany. And John is the only one who records that. At this supper, the first of two anointings took place, also recorded by John. Fourth day before the Passover, the 11th day of Nisan, our Saturday sunset to Sunday sunset, the Gentile Palm Sunday. The second, our triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Now remember, this is sunset Sunday to our Saturday sunset to Sunday sunset. Okay, the second, our triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He sends his disciples for a colt, one animal. He gives Mark, Luke, and John. The Lord starts from Bethany, not Bethage, and is met by multitudes from Jerusalem, Mark, Luke, and John. He weeps over the city, Luke. He enters the temple, looks around, Mark, and returns to Bethany, Mark. The third day before the Passover, the 12th day of Nisan, our Sunday sunset to Monday sunset. Okay, we're getting close to the Wednesday. In the morning, our Monday a.m., the Lord returns to Jerusalem, Matthew and Mark. The fig tree cursed, Matthew and Mark. The temple, further cleansing, Mark, Luke. In the temple, further teaching. Certain Greeks came to him, came to the disciples and said, can we talk to him? That's when he knew his day was, his time was over. His hour had come. We studied that. Opposition of the rulers, Mark and Luke. He goes out of the city, probably to Bethany. See Luke below and Mark. The second day before the Passover, the 13th of Nisan. Our Monday sunset to Tuesday sunset. That's our Monday sunset to Tuesday sunset. In the morning, our Tuesday a.m., on the way to Jerusalem, the question of the disciples about the fig tree, Luke. In Jerusalem again and in the temple. In Jerusalem, teaching in parables and questions. The first great prophecy in the temple. Parenthetical statement as to the Lord's custom during this week. The second great prophecy on the Mount of Olives. The second great prophecy continued. After 2 days is the Passover. Matthew and Mark. He returns to Bethany and is present at the second supper in the house of Simon the leper. The second anointing. Matthew and Mark. Okay, the day before Passover, the 14th day of Nisan, the preparation, the day of the crucifixion, our Tuesday sunset to Wednesday sunset, the plot of Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord, the preparation for the Last Supper, the event was come our Tuesday after sunset, when the plot for the betrayal was ripe for execution, the Last Supper commencing with washing of the feet, the announcement of the betrayal, the supper eaten, the new covenant made, the lamb abolished, bread and wine substituted. That's why we don't use bread or meat. Christ our Passover has already been slaughtered just one time. The first prophecy of Peter's denials, the strife, who should be the greatest, the second prophecy of Peter's denial, the final appeal to his first commission, the last discourse to the 11, followed by his prayer, they go to Gethsemane, the third prophecy of Peter's denials, the agony in the garden, which all this we studied, the apprehension of the Lord, the escape of Lazarus, see notes on Mark, the trials continued throughout our Tuesday night. About the sixth hour, our Tuesday midnight, Pilate said, "Behold your king," led away to be crucified, and led with him two malefactors, criminals. Discussion with Pilate about the inscriptions. And these are all things that are in our list now on the journey to the crucifixion. The dividing of the garments. It was the third hour. They crucified him, hour 9 a.m. Wednesday. There are two robbers crucified with him. The ravelings of the rulers, both robbers and one malefactor. The Lord's mother and John. All of this we have in the sheet we looked at last week. The sixth hour, our Wednesday noon, and darkness, and the darkness fell. The ninth hour, our Wednesday 3, and the expiring cry. Subsequent events. Buried in haste before sunset, our Wednesday about 6 p.m., before the high day, the first day of the feast began, our Wednesday sunset. The first day of the feast, the high day, Yom Tov, the 15th day of Nisan, our Wednesday sunset to Thursday sunset, the first night and first day in the tomb. The second day of the feast, the 16th day of Nisan, our Thursday sunset to Friday sunset, the second night and second day in the tomb. The third day of the feast, the weekly Sabbath, the 17th day of Nisan, our Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. That's the normal Jewish Passover and Sabbath. The third night and the third day in the tomb. The first day of the week, the 18th day of Nisan, our Saturday sunset, the third day, Matthew 16:21, and not the third day of the feast. Thus, the resurrection of our Lord took place at our Saturday sunset thereabouts on the third day. After 3 days in the scriptures. For the sequence of events connected with and following resurrection, and he gives another place you can look. And it will be seen from the above that we have neither power nor authority to alter or shift any day or date, or to change the order or position of any of the events recorded in the Holy Writ. Each day is marked by the return to Bethany during the last week up to the preparation day, and each day is filled with the recorded events. It follows, therefore, that the Lord was crucified on our Wednesday, was buried on that day before sunset, remained 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb, as foretold by him in Matthew 12, rising from the dead on the third day, the first day of the week. The fixed days and dates at either end hold the whole period as a vice and place the whole subject in some and sure foundation. And the words of Mark in Mark 14, Luke 22, refer to the first day of unleavened bread, which was the 14th day of Nisan, therefore the preparation day. That is why the Lord goes to tell the two disciples to go and make preparation for the Passover. Okay, any question? Okay, you can just have fun with this if you want. And I'll tell you what, it's quite something to sit down and take the full days, the 6 days before the crucifixion, like he's done, the two bookends, the previous bookend in Bethany, and then the last week, the resurrection, and make everything, cause everything to fit in that occasion. A lot of people who say it was Friday and even Thursday, they will ignore some of these things. They use rule of teaching a scripture called the Passover. Just pass over certain scriptures. We can't understand it. We don't know where this fits and all that. I think this gives you a very good place to see where everything fits, how it fits, and takes in all the arguments. There's no, I couldn't find one argument that he left out. One thing that, well, what about this and what about that? He's got them all in. They've got them all in. I think this was done by a committee, and therefore no name is put with it other than the organization. So, and but anyway, you can take these, and like I said, it's for our edification and our understanding of what's going on in the Scriptures. So, all right, let's go back now to John 19. In closing, let's look at John 19. Let me just ask, it did help. That helped. Yeah. I think it was just so good that the way they put it, the amount of time they had to put in. I don't know how much time I had to put in just to get the order of the crucifixion down. And going by one verse and omission by the others and all that. And I can only imagine that they just had a whole wall and just put down the two block ends and made everything fit. So, anyway, okay, John 19, get ready for next week. John 19, and let's read from verse 14. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." This is Pilate. "Behold your king." They therefore cried out, "Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" Chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Now this is very interesting. They have chosen Caesar or Rome over their Messiah. This is the history of the Jews. They went to Egypt instead of to the Lord. And they went to Rome here instead of to the Lord. They just, this is characteristic of the Jews when they want to deny various factors. And let's see. Okay, that's what we did in that sheet of paper. Okay, 16. So he then delivered him to them to be crucified. Now what you want to do with John, if you really want to take this on more in your own study, is you want to note John's zeroing in on the dates and the times. Like here in verse 14, it was a day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. This is a very key thing. And then John 12, where he talks about the high day. And so you got so many different things for John 19:31. You got so many different clues by John in regard to the crucifixion and the days and the date of Christ. And so this is where we'll begin next week. Yes. Yes. Okay. What do we use? We use military time. 0600, 0700, 0800, 0900, 0100. Okay, they start their counting at 6. That's 1. 7. 6 to 7 is 1, 7 to 8 is 2, 8 to 9 takes you to the third. So 9 in the morning is the third hour, if you start counting at 6. I'm sorry? Well, their counting is like we do with the military. It starts that morning in the a.m. It starts counting in the a.m. No. Starts in the a.m. And well, he's asking about the 9 in the morning. The crucifixion is the sixth hour, or the third hour. So how could it be third hour if you begin with the night before at 6? Well, they start counting it at 6 in the morning. Yes, they start counting it. So you got 1, 2, 3, 9 o'clock, 4, 5, 6, noon. 7, 8, 9, 3 in the afternoon. Yeah. So, good question. Okay? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that these scriptures can be harmonized. So many attacks are made on this book. So many attacks are made. People can't understand the timing around the crucifixion. And this week, saying, see there, these men contradict each other. It didn't happen this way. But as we learn all the way through the Bible, your word is so exact. We're seeing this in Daniel. How exact are your prophecies? How exact is the information? So, Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for giving us an understanding of harmonizing all these simple verses, these time setters, that we can have a peaceful understanding, Father, this week. We don't really need it, but how peaceful it is to know that your word is alive and powerful, and that it is truth. Father, we pray now you'll take the things we've seen tonight, let them soak into our souls. Be content with this week as we go through our study. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.